The following sermon was preached by Augustine, Bishop of Hippo, sometime between 354 and 430 AD.
The scripture reading is from Mark chapter 8, verse 34, followed by 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And also, do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world." This is God's word.
Why is the creed called the symbol? The time has come for you to receive the creed, which contains in few words all which you believe for your eternal salvation. We rightly call it the symbol from the analogy of another use of the word, for merchants have a symbol or sign which they use among themselves to keep the members of their association faithful to their agreement. And you are members of a spiritual association, seeking, like merchants, the pearl of great price. This pearl is love, which is poured forth in your hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to you. Such love is attained through the faith, which is contained in this symbol. That is, you believe in God, the Father Almighty, invisible, immortal, King of worlds, creator of things visible and invisible, and in all else concerning him, which either pure reason or the authority of the Holy Scripture rightly declares. Nor is the Son to be separated from the excellency of God. For these things are not asserted of the Father as if they did not also belong to him who said, "I am and the Father are one." And of whom the apostles said, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Robbery, of course, is the appropriation of what belongs to another. But the equality of the Son is not by robbery, but by nature. Truly, how shall the Son through whom all things were made not be omnipotent, since also he is the power of God and the wisdom of God, of which it is written, "Being but one, she can do all things." Moreover, he is by nature invisible in that true form in which he is equal to the Father. Surely the Word of God is by nature invisible, that Word which was in the beginning with God and was God. In this nature, too, he is wholly immortal. That is, he remains in every way unchanging. The human soul is also called immortal in a certain sense, but that is not true immortality when there is so great mutability that both progress and regress are possible. Thus, it is the soul's death to be separated from the life of God through its own ignorance. And it is its life to run to the fountain of life, that in the light of God it may see light. For in that life, through the grace of God, you will find resurrection from the death you are now renouncing. But the Word of God, which is the only begotten Son, abides always with the Father without change. He does not become less, for the eternal does not diminish. Neither does he grow greater, for the perfect does not increase. He is also the creator of worlds, visible and invisible, because as the apostle said, in him were all things created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and in him, and by him all things endure. But since he emptied himself, not losing the form of God, but taking the form of a servant, through this form of a servant, the invisible became visible. For he was born of the Holy Ghost and Mary the Virgin. In this form of a servant, omnipotence became weak, for he suffered under Pontius Pilate. In this form of a servant, immortality endured death, for he was crucified and buried. In this form of a servant, the King of worlds rose on the third day. In this form of a servant, the Creator of things, visible and invisible, ascended into heaven from which he had never departed. In this form of a servant, he sits at the right hand of the Father. He who is the arm of the Father, of whom the prophet said, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. In this form of a servant, he shall come to judge the living and the dead, for he willed to share their death, although he was the life of the living. Through him, the Holy Spirit was sent to us from the Father and from him. The Spirit of the Father and the Son was sent from both, was begotten of none, a unity with both, the equal of both. This Trinity is one God, omnipotent, invisible, King of the worlds, Creator of things visible and invisible. For we do not say three lords, nor three omnipotents, nor three creators, nor three of anything which can be said of the excellency of God. Although in this Trinity the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and the Holy Spirit is neither Son nor Father, yet that Father is Father of the Son, and that Son is Son of the Father, and that Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Son. Believe that you may understand, for unless you believe, you will not understand. Through this faith, you hope for grace, in which all sins will be forgiven you. By this, you will be saved, and not of yourselves, for this is the gift of God. Now, after this death, which comes to all, which is the penalty incurred long ago by the first man, you hope for the final resurrection of your bodies, not a resurrection to pain and suffering to which the wicked shall rise, nor to the pleasures of carnal delights, as the foolish think. But as the apostle says, it is sown a natural body, it shall rise a spiritual body. Then the body will not be a load upon the soul, nor will it need repair, since it will suffer no lack. Why the creed must be learned and remembered then? I have preached to you this short sermon on the whole creed, as is required. In that creed, you know that all I have said in this sermon is contained in a few words. These words you must not write down in any way in order to preserve them. Learn them by hearing them. And when you have memorized them, do not put them in writing, but keep them always in memory and reflect upon them. For All that you hear in the Creed is contained in the divine words of the Holy Scriptures. The Creed, which confesses our faith in these exact words, must not be written down, for it is to us a memorial of the promise of God when he announced the new covenant through the prophet and said, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will give my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts." To remind you of this, the Creed is learned by hearing, and it is not written down on tablets or on any sort of material, but in the heart. He who has called you to his kingdom and glory will grant to you who are born again by his grace that these words be written in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, in order that you may love, because you believe, and that faith may work through love. So may you be pleasing to the Lord, the giver of all good, not fearing punishment like slaves, but loving justice like free men. This, then, is the Creed. Its substance is already known to you through the Scriptures and the preaching of the Church, but this brief form must be steadfastly held and upheld by the faithful. Amen. This has been a Sermon Project production. Original material by Peter Kennedy. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. We facilitate very generous usage permissions, so please let us know your requirements. If you like this type of content and want more of it, please consider partnering with us. In Canada, the Sermon Project is fully charitable, and all donations receive a tax-deductible receipt. If you're outside Canada, we would still love for you to partner with us too, but unfortunately we cannot offer a tax receipt. For more information and donation links, go to sermonproject.com.